Good evening to everyone. It's good to see everyone here this evening as we engage in study of the Scriptures. I want to express my appreciation to all of you for your kind words and words of encouragement and your prayers that have been offered, and also the food that was provided at the Hovaters' home and their hospitality and having us there so that we could enjoy each other's company and in sharing and eating together. And we certainly appreciate that. And also want to extend my appreciation to the fourth and fifth graders here. You sent a card to me, and you had words of encouragement. And I so much appreciate that. I appreciate the prayers that you offered up on my behalf that I would arrive here safely. And God answered your prayers. And I really appreciate that. As we go before the Almighty and ask Him to always be with us and encourage us to stand firm for the truth and to be an example to others who are lost so that they might come to the Lord and get to know the joy that we share in Him. And so this evening, as we engage in our study in regards to walking with God, I hope that we will be encouraged in our walk with the Lord and that we will do His will and do as the last song that we sang, that we would rejoice in this heavenly sunlight that we walk in and share in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is a lot of things that we could learn about a person when he walks. There are those who, when they walk, they have a sense of purpose. As they walk around and just carry out the task of their days, there are those who would be walking and they are daydreaming. I remember one time that happened to me. I was daydreaming and I was watching some guys play some basketball, and as I was walking by, I wasn't paying attention and I walked right into this pole. Ping! And then all of a sudden, you can tell a lot by the way a person walks. He's daydreaming. There are those who walk with confidence. There are those who walk laid back and just really just taking their time. And then you can also tell about an age of a person as they're slower in their walk, but that's just a part of life and so forth. And then there are those who not only are slow in their walk, but they have a little pep in their step, as we would say a lot of times. And then there are those who are power walking, they're exercising. So you can tell a lot by the way a person walk. And so tonight, as we engage in our study and looking at what God says in the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at walking worthy of the calling of God on His ground. Walking worthy of the calling of God on His ground. Remember, the word walk is used in a figurative sense. And it's really describing really the way that a person lives. And God is calling all of us to walk worthy, as the apostle writes to the brethren at Ephesus, encouraging them to make sure that they are walking worthy of the Lord. In other words, that they are walking suitably, that they're walking properly, that they're walking in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. And so that idea, or this concept of worthy, carries a lot of weight for us. That we need to focus our minds and our hearts in practicing what God has revealed to us in His Word. In fact, over in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, as Paul wrote to the brethren there, encouraging them that they could serve the Lord in whatever capacity that they find themselves. Whether they are poor, they could serve the Lord. If they are rich, they can serve the Lord. If they're injured, they still can serve the Lord. If they're limited in their movement, they can serve the Lord. And that was the encouragement of the letter. And so in those verses, Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you." As he expresses to these brethren, to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. And then he talks about bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is what it's about when it comes to walking worthy of the calling of God on His ground. In fact, this calling that the apostle expresses, if you look throughout some of the scriptures here, you'll find different descriptions of that walk. For example, over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in regards to this calling of God, Paul says God is calling us in reference to through the gospel. That's how He calls everyone. It's through the gospel. And as you and I obey the gospel of Christ, you and I will be in a right relationship with Him. And so He calls all of us to walk with Him. Also, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul, as he talks with Timothy, points out in reference to the calling of God, he says it is a holy calling. It's holy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. In verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Notice another passage in regards to the calling of God. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the writer describes the calling of God as a heavenly calling. God is calling us from heaven. And what these passages are teaching us, they are teaching us that God wants us to walk with Him. And when you look at other teachings of the Scriptures, it's as though God is standing there with His arms wide open and He is calling everyone to come to Him so that they will find refuge in Him. It's a heavenly calling. Here's something else. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, Peter says it is His calling. In other words, God's calling. That is interesting. Throughout this description of God's calling, it belongs to Him. It is God calling us. And as these men are proclaiming the gospel of Christ, they are saying to the hearers that God is calling all of us to walk with Him. And then finally, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says it is an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is a very interesting description that Paul expresses there in that passage when he says it is an upward call. It is a call that takes us out of the muck and mires of sin, and it calls us to stand on a higher plane or higher ground. And the message of the gospel, what it does, it takes us to our higher consciousness. As I said before, our thoughts change. And when our thoughts change, then our behavior changes. And we become like what God intends for us to be. We are then restored back to where God had said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, very good, where we were whole. That's what the gospel does. It makes us whole. It prepares us to walk with our awesome and mighty God. There are so many lessons for us to learn when it comes to God's Word and this calling. You see, God did not leave us to do things on our own. See, there is a method that God has prescribed to us to help us to walk worthy of that calling. It must be on the grounds that God has established. And here's the reason why. It is based upon what God reveals. For example, when you turn over to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, in regards to this method, James tells us the reason why that is the case. The reason why God has not left us to our own methods is because of who we are. In James's description and encouragement of the brethren to conduct themselves in the manner that is pleasing to God, he says in verse 19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Why is that? And the reason why, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We do not determine the standards of what is right. I like to describe that word righteousness. There are several things you could say in reference to the word righteousness. In other words, justified or justification. Being acquitted of the crime that we committed against God. But because of the blood of Christ, we've been cleansed. Thereby we're justified. We're made right. But then there is another way, as I describe this word righteousness, as James is telling us. James is teaching us the reason why the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because we do not know the right way to go. God must direct us. Right-wayness. That's how I describe that. Right-wayness. And who determines that? Well, God does. So here in this passage, this is why God does not leave us to methods of our own. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Ecclesiastes writer says this. He says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God." And he says, "Draw near," now notice, "to listen. And as you draw near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil." Do not be hasty in word. We are hasty in word sometimes. We are. We may not have the full knowledge of a situation, but God does. And so the warning and the wisdom that is being expressed here is describing that you and I are sometimes hasty in our words. But not with God. And then he goes on to say, or impulsive in our thought. Sometimes we are impulsive in our thoughts. Someone might say something, we don't understand it, and then the next thing you know, it sends us reeling in some negative thoughts. How many of us are like that sometimes? I know sometimes I am guilty of that. And I need to make sure that I need to calm myself down and bring those thoughts under control. But it's not that way with the Lord. He's not impulsive in thought. And so the writer is describing us. That is why God has not left us to our own methods. He has given us the instructions to help us to walk worthy. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and begin to look at God's method of walking worthy of His calling. This is what the apostle is expressing to these brethren to help them to see and understand God's method so that they will be pleasing to the Lord. Now notice, in verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians, the first thing that we see in these passages, he says, let's start at verse 1. "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all," what? "Humility." Humility. Lowliness of mind. That we're not thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. That we have value or place value on others. And more importantly, we value the Word of God as being the core of our lives, and we are willing and we do submit to what He says. We're humbled. And that's what God wants us to do and be. That's His method. And Paul is pointing this out to these brethren here at Ephesus, to humble themselves to God. And he says, you do this with all humility. When we do it with all humility, then we're going to accomplish the will of God. We will not allow anger to consume us and lead us into sin. Yes, we can be angry, but we're told to sin not. There is that possibility for us to do so. And we do. And God is instructing us to make sure that we're following His will. Now notice the second thing that He expresses in those passages. And gentleness. I kind of connect gentleness and humility together. And that's what the apostle does. Humility and gentleness. And the idea is being soft toward God and His Word. We are like a lump of soft clay. That God takes His hand, and what He does, He takes His hand and He imprints it upon us. And because we are soft towards Him, we conform to the image of His hand. And our hearts begin to show the shape of the hand of God, so to speak. That's the idea. That's why we are to do this with all humility and gentleness, conforming to the image of God. And when we do that, we will begin to walk worthy of the calling of God. The knowledge of His will increase in us, will change us. And then He goes on and points out patience. With patience. Self-restraint before action. To forbear. Giving thought to what we are about to do or what we are about to say. Remember what James says. The anger of man does not achieve or accomplish the righteousness of God. So patience is a part of it. That is God's method for us. And He goes on to point out, showing tolerance. Showing tolerance. That doesn't mean that we accept sin. No, that's not what it's talking about. What He is saying in the patience and then showing tolerance is having patience with our brethren. Having patience with those souls that are struggling to understand the gospel of Christ. Being patient with the Word of God, the Word of truth, and letting it take its course. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Allowing it to do its work. Seeing the changes that are coming about in the lives of those individuals, hearts who are soft towards God, and begin to see the growth. Sewell and I were talking about some of these things this afternoon in regards to just really so blessed with the work here and seeing the growth of many of you. Those who were very young when I was here, and now here you are adults. Carrying out the work of God in your lives. That is encouraging. That is allowing truth to take its course, to do its work, and those individuals growing and becoming a tower or a pillar of strength in the community as they leave their families. That is what Paul is talking about. That is what the Holy Spirit is conveying through the apostle. That's God's method of how you and I can walk worthy of His calling. And then he goes on and he says this, for one another in love, and then he says in verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, preserving the unity of the Spirit, that is obeying and teaching and allowing truth to, again, to take its course. And letting it be the standard as God has revealed in His Word by the Spirit. Remember, it was Jesus who said to the apostles or the disciples there in John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Spirit of truth is going to lead and guide you into all truth. And as we submit to the revealed will of God, we develop the same Spirit. We have the disposition of God. And we are reaching out to others. We are preserving that. We are teaching and we are obeying those things. Not changing them. The only changing that's being done is our lives. Changing towards the truth and allowing the truth to rule. That is God's method in helping us to walk worthy of His calling. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, John wrote to the Christians there to encourage them and to combat those who were teaching falsely concerning their lives, that they did not have to keep those things and do what God says. John says this, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we ask or we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. When we are doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, as we keep His commandments, we are preserving the unity of the Spirit. It's God's method. Now, here's what's interesting when it comes to God's method, and as we obey those things, we are walking worthy of the calling of God. We are walking with Him. We need to understand that as you and I engage in carrying out God's will in our lives, we are now standing on God's ground. Right. We are walking with God. And if we are walking with God, we are standing on God's ground. And that reminded me of what God did with Moses. Over in Genesis chapter 3, remember the burning bush? There's a statement that was made in verses 4 and 5. As Moses' attention is gotten by the burning bush as he sees it burning but yet not being consumed. And so it tells us in Genesis chapter 3 verses 4 and 5 that when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, that is Moses, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. That's Moses. Here I am. And then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. When we enter into a covenant relationship with God, when we obey His will, we are entering or drawing near to the Lord and we are standing on holy ground. That is why we're being called by the gospel. And look at what's the contents of the gospel. The contents of the gospel is about purification of each of us from our sins. So that we can stand in the glory of God, stand on holy ground, so that we can walk with Him And the things that were pointed out earlier concerning the methods of God, they are causing us to walk worthy. We are truly blessed. God has provided these things for us. Let's begin to look at the holy ground that we're standing on when you and I obey the gospel of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. Now notice verses 4 through 6. In verses 4 through 6, we are standing on holy ground because when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into one body. Whose body is that? The body of Christ. We have established a relationship with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And because we have established that relationship, we have drawn near to God. We have fellowship with Him. And Paul points this out in regards to the one body, the one function, doing what God tells us to do. We are truly true believers in Christ. We function as the head dictates to us, as God directs us. If the head, if what happens when I tell my hand to do this and it doesn't do it? Something, there's a problem, isn't it? That's the point. We function as God teaches and directs us to carry out His will in our lives. And there is only one. It's not many, there's one. And so you start to see that we have now established a relationship with Christ when we are in the body of Christ. There is one body. Then notice what else the apostle says. There is one Spirit. There is one Spirit that enlightens us, that convicts us and converts us. Causes us to change, to become like God. Not many, one. And as we follow the instructions of the Spirit, we are then united, and thereby we have one Spirit, God directing us. And then he goes on to say, one hope. One hope of our calling. And that calling is into the relationship or the rulership of God. We are of His kingdom. We are under His rule. We're standing on His territory. We belong to Him. You have all those passages that teaches us about the kingdom and the rulership of God. This is that one hope. That's the ground we stand on. That's God's ground. God's ground gives us hope. And when you look back in Genesis there and notice what God had said to Moses, what was the reason why God was speaking to Moses? He was going to deliver His people from Egyptian bondage so that they would serve Him. God provided that. And as they entered into that covenant, they were then standing on God's ground, and they were not to violate His covenant. They were to obey Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. And there's a reason why you have that kind of a description there. Every aspect of us, our thinking, our affection, and our determination, the will to serve God, God wants all of it. And when we give Him all of us, we'll end up standing on His ground. We will end up walking worthy of His calling. Notice, one Lord. One Lord. One ruler. One Master. Who is leading us. That's why you have over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, about the confession. Confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Openly declaring that Jesus rules. He is the master of us all. He is the master of my life, and I am committed to follow Him. One Lord. And there are men and women who want to take the place of Christ Jesus. But if we're going to walk on God's ground, we must not put anyone or anything above our God. Jesus is to be recognized as Lord. One faith, one system of teaching. There are many who are teaching something different that is leading individuals away from God. No, the one faith is the one system of teaching that is found in the Word of God. And we must follow that one system of teaching. And as we follow that one system of teaching, we will accomplish what God was teaching us in reference to the method. And that method was preserving the unity of the Spirit. We are of the same mind, the same judgment. And he says one baptism, one cleansing, one purification. Yeah. To stand on God's ground, you have to be clean. You have to be purified. You have to be cleansed of sin. Our God is holy. In Him is light, and there is no darkness. There is no sin in God. And so for us to walk with God, to have fellowship with Him, these sins must be removed. And God has provided where our sins can be washed away, and we could stand and walk on His ground because it is holy. And then the apostle points out, and standing on God's ground, he says, one God and Father. There's one deity, one creator. We need to recognize it as such. So as we're walking worthy of the calling of God, we are walking according to God's method. In all humility. Submitting ourselves to His will. When we're walking worthy of the calling of God, we are walking on God's ground. That last song that we sang, Heavenly Sunlight, as we're living our lives for the Lord, we should be rejoicing. And the reason why we should be rejoicing is because we are walking with God. We are standing on holy ground. We're walking in the heavenly sunlight of God that shines upon us in this life. And then when this life is over, we will have uninhibited fellowship. We will have put off this body of decay and have put on a spiritual body united with God in all its glory. But as we live here on earth, we must live accordingly. And when the walk is over, when we no longer can put one foot in front of the other, when we no longer can grasp the hand of the Lord on our own, our God will carry us. That is what we should be aiming for all the days of our lives.
and there will be joy. Joy that fills us up, that will give us hope. We can truly sing. We could sing with all the joy, with all the excitement and enthusiasm, because we serve an awesome God who wants us to walk with Him. And so if you have not put Christ on, now is the time. Now is the time to obey Him and to do His will. When you begin to look at it, you see, outside of Christ, we are walking in the arena of death. We are walking in the arena of condemnation. We are walking in the arena of destruction. We are walking in the arena of sin. And the only way that you can get out of that arena and walk in the light of the Lord is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you obey the gospel, all these spiritual blessings God shines and gives and pours out upon us. Forgiveness, sonship, inheritance, sealed, we are His. Our names are enrolled in heaven. We are a new creation. We have deliverance, or salvation is ours. To get out of that arena, we must be baptized into Christ. We must be purified. We must be cleansed. And as we are raised up out of the water, we walk faithfully with our Lord. We walk in continued obedience. And heaven is ours. So, my friend, if you have not done this, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. Now is the time. All things are ready. We will help you. We will assist you. Just let us know. And if you've fallen away, I encourage you as a brother, and I do so loudly, to return to the Lord before it is too late. Determine in your mind you're going to follow the Lord and work with the brethren here in serving and glorifying our great and awesome God, who wants us and you to walk with Him worthy of His calling. And so if we can, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.